following is an Auburn Network production. The following is an Auburn Network production. The following is an Auburn Network production.
Are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 2nd, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day here in the Auburn and Opelika area. Getting warm, a little breeze out there as well, and a nice day here in April. We have a ton to get to on the show today. We're talking college basketball with Auburn in the NIT. Final Four tonight, baby! Woo! Final Four!
Still playing ball.
That's right. We're going to talk about the Tigers and the Redbirds tonight from Illinois State. We'll start the show with that. Plus, we have two great guests, as we always do. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, as he gets ready to call baseball this weekend, starting tonight at Plainsman Park against Arkansas. Brad Law will join us at 2:30. We'll talk a little baseball ourselves at 3, give you guys our breakdown and things of the series this weekend, and then we'll have Chris Cordy of Locked On SEC will be with us, our longtime Thursday 3:30 guest. So all that here on the show this afternoon. Christian, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Yeah, it's, other than Brad and Chris, it feels like a free-for-all Friday. And I don't know if this is just because we're talking baseball for SEC and it feels like that's going into the weekend,
yeah,
or just the conversations that we're planning on having today. But it had to be reminded when we were all filling this out that it is. It's only Happy Thursday. And so
Yeah. Maybe
that makes it a little bit more unhappy Thursday in the personal life. But
wow.
I know. Real sentimental. You have that hotkey, and it's for the slow music that we can play again here today.
No, that was a one-time thing.
That was fantastic. No, we are. We're planning on having a really good show today. Auburn basketball, you mentioned Auburn baseball. A lot of SEC talk. A conversation in there as well that we have almost predicted for quite some time. And if you were everyday listeners, if you're part-time listeners, you would know about all this information that we have talked about. What? No way. There's a possibility of SEC championships coming to an end.
What?
I don't believe it. You're telling me that conference pride or conference postseason doesn't really mean anything? Ain't no way.
We're diving into
all that here in hour number one.
Yeah, and so there's a ton to get to. Again, the phone lines are open if you would like to be a part of the show. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Your thoughts on Auburn basketball tonight, Auburn baseball tonight, or anything else going on in the world of sports. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we begin today's show with the announcement the United States has fired the Attorney General. No, I'm just kidding. We're not talking about that. That did happen today, though. Pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I don't know much about it. I saw the headline.
Yeah.
But
ooh, while we do have headlines, though, there is one that I feel like will bring you happiness, kind of ironically, based off of the day yesterday. Did you see what the Washington Wizards had to apologize for today?
No.
So we all know what happened yesterday, right? April 1st.
Oh, no.
The Washington Wizards.
Somebody went too far with an April Fool's joke, would be my guess.
The Washington Wizards made an overall apology, quoting, "We missed the mark." and they apologized for a scripted April Fool's stunt where they planted a fan into seemingly tricking them into winning $10,000.
Oh, no. Oh.
So if that doesn't put an end to April Fool's for the Washington Wizards of the near future.
So they tricked a fan into thinking he won $10,000, and they were like, ha, just kidding, April Fool's.
And their quote was, we missed the mark.
Yeah.
Really?
I would say so. And maybe that's what it takes for corporate companies and sports teams and things like that to not go that far on April Fool's. Like, you and I think we were talking about this last night over dinner. Like, 10 years ago with social media, the April Fool's jokes were fun for a team. It's like, oh my God, breaking news. LeBron, back to the Cavs.
Yeah, look, you know, Auburn's going to a blue field.
Yeah, like, that type of stuff. But it's like, man, it's the same stuff every year, but people's attention spans are so small now and so short that they see something and then they move on, but they don't ever follow up with it to where it's... You see what I'm saying?
Well, there was one yesterday of a fake John Rothstein account talking about Tyler Tanner entering the transfer portal, and it took quite some time for me to scroll down and for them to realize, like, oh, there it is. Finally, somebody realized that it was an April Fool. Everybody was sitting there, come to the Vols, or you know where home is. And it's like, all right, guys, go look at the account that's actual titled Not John Rothstein.
The only one that got me yesterday, and then we'll start talking Auburn basketball. The only April Fool's joke that got me yesterday, it had nothing to do with sports. It was Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers. He made a post and a graphic that he was returning to the show for its 13th season. And I was like, I haven't watched that show in years. I used to love it. You were growing up.
Well, yeah, but when he was on it.
Yeah. But he made that post and I was like, oh my God, no way. And then I was like, oh.
I think that was during our commercial break yesterday, or one of our commercial breaks.
It may have been. That's genuinely the only one that got me yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was actually disappointing.
What's not April Fool's is the Falcons getting new jerseys and Kirk Cousins no longer being on the roster.
Yeah, there is that. Good segue from that to that. And now
talking about the Redbirds.
Boom.
Now to Illinois State.
Boom. Who Auburn plays tonight.
Who also got New Jersey?
Tigers and Redbirds tonight from historic Hinkle Fieldhouse. Excited for what that could be. The radio broadcast with Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey and Jacob Hillman will be right here on ESPN 106.7 this evening. So if you're out and about tonight or you want to pull up that Radio Alabama app and listen to those guys, highly recommend that you do. It will be here on ESPN 106.7. They'll still have it on their Auburn Tigers app and things like they normally do, but with baseball getting started with such a big series, that's going to be on Wings 94.3, and basketball will be tonight here on ESPN 106.7. Yours truly will be running it, and so a late night because Auburn is the second game of two in the Final Four. And so Auburn and Illinois State. Tigers favored by 7 or 8, depending on where you look. 7.5, 8, somewhere in there. And it's a game that I think Auburn fans will keep up with, listen to, watch it in some regard. I don't know. I haven't been able to really get a true temperature check on all of this. Like, how bought in are the Auburn fans for this game tonight? I guess call us or text us if you have a thought on that. I'm curious on what that is, right? The interest level, if you will, for Auburn fans in the game tonight. But I told Doug earlier on the Max Roundtable, I have walked back some of my thoughts and words about Auburn's NIT run, I guess, because I do genuinely think that Auburn has taken some positive things out of this already. I do. I think the extra games for Stephen Pearl, I think the extra games for the guys on the roster who could come back next year, which is a very interesting conversation. One that we will probably go into a little bit more tomorrow on Free For All Friday, but there's a lot of buzz around several names for Auburn that could come back next year. But I do think there are some good things that Auburn has taken from the NIT so far.
Yeah, very much so. When you're looking at this Illinois State team, 23-12 overall, they are 95th in the net, and so this is a Quad 2, borderline Quad 3 game. Quad 3 for neutral site starting right at 100. And so you're kind of right in that point. When you look at Illinois State, they do have a couple of decent wins. They Again, they beat Wake Forest, beat Dayton, beat UNI. They're 3-2 in quad one games, lost to Belmont on the road, and then lost to Utah State, who did make the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. They lost that one 83-78. We'll dive into this Redbirds team here in just a moment, but a couple of things that you mentioned that I want to hit on. Talking about the interest level, I feel like it's a very uncommon thing to say when speaking to myself or just to Auburn fans on watching a game relatively stress-free, because I feel like you will watch, and I will watch, and we will listen, and we will be invested and be involved, but if a final score doesn't go the way that we're hoping to, we're not going to have that same emotional kickback that we would in a true meaningful game.
Yeah, but I think that also comes back to the idea of you had very little to gain and a lot to lose by taking the NIT bid, to the point of like, I mean, really? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Seriously, you lost to Illinois State. And especially at this point, too, it's like, okay, you've now taken a whole extra week to travel to Indianapolis, go and play at a historic venue, one that won't have very many Auburn fans in it, let's just call it like it is, and I guess that isn't overly fair for me to say it that way, but it's like, I didn't want you to take the bid, but then since you did, I want you to win it. But then you're going to get all the way to the Final Four, and you're going to, like, that might be a little too much coming from me. But
right, no, but it's just, again, we're going to watch, we're going to listen, and we'll obviously talk about it win or lose tomorrow, but
it's not do or die.
It doesn't seem like there is the 100% emotional buy-in that comes with most Auburn events of, holy cow, if we lose tomorrow, I'm going to cry at work all day. Like, it doesn't feel like that, which, again, has its pros and has its cons, but I think it is leaning more towards the pro side of things, of us understanding, us realizing how things have worked in this NIT. And I do think there are some positives. I agree with you. There are some positives that come out of Auburn continuing to play basketball.
But I think the reason for that, too, is Auburn fans have already accepted that the season is over.
Right.
Right? The season was over when you lost to Tennessee in the SEC tournament.
Or even
before that,
Ole
really.
Miss, if you really wanted to ask the silent majority.
And so these are just kind of extra gravy games, if you will, for Auburn fans who got to go, right, in the first few games at Neville Arena. You have a chance again tonight to listen to a game and watch a game and see what happens. But, yeah, the knee-jerk reaction of Auburn winning or losing this game tonight won't be overly dramatic, which, to be honest, is kind of refreshing at the same time. I mean, it's a very rare thing.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often with Auburn fans, with myself, or just the everyday watcher, of being able to watch a game and win or lose. Yes, the immediate reactions, but when you lay your head down to the pillow, it's kind of just, yeah, all right.
Yeah, exactly. And so we will still analyze it tomorrow and things like that, like you mentioned, but what are we looking for tonight in this game? I mean, again, there is a lot of positivity around, and has been even with the season coming down the stretch in the regular season, but the idea of Filip Jovic returning, Elijah Freeman returning, Sway returning, right? Those are kind of the ones that Auburn fans were like, man, if you can keep anybody, keep those three. Now, there seems to be a little positive momentum in the direction of Taha Pettiford as well, because of how this has gone, and maybe the further conversations that Steven and the staff have been able to have with him and other guys on this team. And I would imagine, Christian, just from what I've been told and what we're able to gather, there's probably been some pretty heavy conversations being had about, look, this didn't go the way we wanted it to in year one. And I think that's pretty clear. But let's sit and try and work this out and see if we can do something special in year two.
Yeah, which, again, takes a lot of maturity on both sides of things, giving credit to Steven as a first-year head coach, as well as the heavy conversations with everybody, but especially Tahad Pettiford. And this is all speculation on my side of things, with what's about to be said, not of what we just talked about, with hearing rumblings and possibly some momentum working towards Auburn fans being very, very happy. But it almost feels like there needed to and should have been a conversation of I'm sorry. This not only did this not go the way we were hoping for, but we said we were going to build a team around you. We said that you were going to be our guy. You were going to be our leader. And you brought in a lot more offense around Tahad Pettiford. And early on, it was Keyshawn Hall. And we talked about, I mean, when things are going well, he's one of the most gifted scorers that we've ever seen. But you've also seen the negative and the cons of that as well, which I think has led Tahad to be a little bit streaky throughout the season because, well, the mentality of, well, I'm not the go-to guy. I'm half the time, I'm not even the second or the third option right now. That takes a little bit of the, yeah, all right, well, if I do good, I do good. If not, does it really even matter? Which isn't necessarily the fact, the way that you should think. And again, not saying that's the way that he was thinking, but having that mature conversation of, this is what we tried to do and we realized that it did not work. Let's go do it this year to where you almost feel like you should bring Tahad Pettiford in the conversations of the player has more power than it's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's good or bad, I think if you're wanting to keep and build around Tahad Pettiford, I think he is somebody that you almost have in some of the meetings of this is a guy we want. Let's formulate what we think will be successful to not only let your game shine to where the NBA goes back to what it happened and what it saw in year one and then can build off of that, but then also where you're still going to have a lot of success. And that's where we've had the conversations of Ngoy already being a major, major piece that you expect for Auburn next year, much less having the conversations of backup point guard, even a point guard if you want to play a little bit more off the ball, getting more defense, getting a Denver Jones type of guy, a 3-and-D that can bring the ball up the floor, but it's going to be your primary perimeter defender, and things like that I feel like are the conversations that could and possibly should be happening, and maybe those are the conversations that are happening if there is momentum with the ball rolling in Auburn's favor.
More on that tomorrow on the Free For All Friday edition of our show, where we could dive into, yes, more on Tahad, KO, those types of conversations too, whether Auburn's season is truly over or they're preparing for an NIT championship. But I want to talk more about the game in specifics tonight. We have several texters that we're going to get to in the text box at 334-784-1067. You can also give us a call with your thoughts on Auburn basketball, baseball, or anything else on your mind. 334-321-1390. We continue talking basketball right after this as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking more Auburn basketball as the Tigers prepare to take on Illinois State tonight in the Final Four of the NIT. And got a couple of text messages here that I want to read through from our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. You can also give us a call at 334-321-1390. Our guy Steven in Texas says that he'll be keeping up with it from Texas. He says he will be keeping up with that. He says you also are seeing the team get pictures with Indy cars and getting good dinners. He said can't be that bad for those guys who are traveling to Indianapolis and making money. So from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the biggest complaint with everything, and it's what we've talked about and what I've talked a little bit about just from the college perspective of you can chase everything that goes on, but when you're in the middle of competition, there's no thought of, yeah, but this is only the NIAA or NAIA championship. This is only the D3, the D2, the JUCO championship. This is only the NIT trophy we're going for. You think about those things, but speaking about it firsthand, when you're in the batter's box or you're about to tip off and you're looking around the arena, there's no part of you that's going, okay, well, yeah, but it's only for this. So as a player perspective, I do think it's really cool that there's still a postseason hunt. There is still a trophy that's at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Eric at Auburn texted in and said, we're starving. Hello, Mr. President. Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. He says, we're starving for Auburn wins. Anything at this point. These NIT games have at least shifted the vibe a little bit.
Sure.
He says, if you win the whole thing, I might have to walk back my NIT slander. He says, but otherwise, it's just kind of something to hope for.
Worst case scenario, like we've talked about and like plenty of people have said, it's more games. It's more Auburn that you're able to watch, whether that's for better or for worse. You've seen much better here in the NIT.
Yeah. Clay from Montgomery throwing out not a prediction, but a little bit of a rumor about Tahat Pettiford, because we had mentioned that, where there is some growing optimism that he could return to Auburn. He says, how about this? Tahat stays, and the kid that went to Michigan comes and plays with him next year. He's talking about Elliot Kudeau, who are him and Tahat are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Says he wanted to play with Tahat. He could come and be the point guard. Tahat could move over and be the shooting guard. If Auburn could afford it, absolutely. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying you're going to have to shell out some money for that.
We've talked a lot about that and watching Michigan in that run of, how much Elliott wanted to play with Tahat, but having to pick your team before the draft combine, or before that you had to enter or remove your name from the draft, and so Kudeau chose Michigan. I would say it worked out for him, and so it would take a little bit to pull Elliott from the Wolverines and Dusty May, but maybe your best friend would be able to do that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, let's get to the phone lines. We have several people calling in. Want to make sure we get them both on the air before we take our bottom of the hour break, where Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be joining us. 334-321-1390. We begin with Ed. You're on the line, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, guys. I appreciate the chance to talk with y'all. I was going to tell you, I talked with you right after Auburn had announced their, acceptance to go to the NIT, and I kind of, just kind of threw out, I don't care if they win it, but that wasn't true. If they're in there, they're getting some experience. I do hope they win it. I'm pulling for them. I was calling another program. I definitely think, Steve Pearl deserves another year, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking really forward to Auburn football, because I really think that for the first time in 4 or 5 years they're going to have an offense.
Yeah.
But I wanted two things I was just going to mention. One thing I just get sick of hearing is NIL. I believe, I hear these national, this is them saying this. I believe these young kids need to make money off their name,
sure,
image, and likeness. They're not making money off their name, image, and likeness. They're making money off their ability to score points or, that's all. It is not name.
Well, it's a recruiting tool now, Ed, is what it is. It's a recruiting tool.
But it's pay for play.
Yeah, that's right.
What it is.
That's right.
That's all it is. And the other thing I was just going to say real quick, as far as like Tiger Woods and what he's going through, and Aiden Holloway, you take regular citizens and you put them in those positions, and those people are behind bars, period. Okay? That's not how things are supposed to be, but it is how things are. But, money will buy you justice in this nation, and fame and money will absolutely buy you, not justice, but it'll buy you out of what justice should be.
Yeah.
But Tiger Woods should,
I hear what you're saying. I hear you.
But Aiden Holloway, if you or I got caught with 2 pounds of weed, buddy, we'd be in big problems. But he's not going to be in any big problem. That's just the truth.
To see on all that. I hear you, though. I do. I get what you're saying, Ed.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Ed. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And you have something to say
while we're on the Phil
on
Mickelson or the Tiger Woods? Oh, there goes, wow. Dropped my gun. While we are on the Tiger Woods train, a lefty is not playing in the Masters either.
Yeah, man. That's what we heard. Phil Mickelson will not be at Augusta National either. Let's get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Dak, you're on the line, my friend. What's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's doing going,
been
man.
A minute.
I'm enjoying spring break this week. I'm finally off for a few days. I got to watch a little bit of football practice the last couple of days.
Hey, I mean, if that's the biggest concern, if that's the biggest issue, seems like you're living life right now.
I know it. I enjoy it. I was really glad to get there and meet Coach and meet some of the players and watch a little practice and really enjoyed it. It sounds like that he really wants to run the football and commit to running the football. So I think we would all agree that that's going to help us tremendously if we stick to that.
I think so. I mean, it seems like the pace will be better, right? And you know, you've been there. Byron Brown looks leagues and bounds, better than everybody else that's in there, right, for the quarterback spot in particular. But, yeah, I mean, I just want it to look different, right? I think that's what all Auburn fans just look different. It can't get much worse than it's been on that side of the football, right? I mean, you have a familiar running back room. Of course, you bring in a couple, but you've got some returnees there. You feel decent about the offensive line, depending on what that's going to look like. So I just want the pacing to be different, and it sounds like they're going to be playing a lot more angry too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that they all are trying to instill over there is the offensive line being a lot more physical, and that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm excited about, you know, instead of every time we're in third and one, fourth and one, you're just holding your breath, hoping that we get a yard. Those days used to not bother us, but in the last couple of years, I mean, we've struggled, you know, to get a first down, just needing a yard or two. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
Feels like you're at the point where there doesn't need to be anything cute offensively. If you're going to build
right.
off of physicality
right.
on third and one and fourth and one, even if it's a zone read and Byron Brown's the one that keeps it, at worst you feel like
right.
he's going to be able to go behind the offensive line and fall forward for a yard and a half.
Right, absolutely. So anyway, on the basketball game, I think it's a positive that we played in it. I think Pearl needed it. I think it would help him down the line. And I think it helped the players that we have coming back. I don't believe that Pettifer would be back. I think he's gone. I've heard three schools that he's trying to bid for, Syracuse being one, where they're going to pay him the most money. And then he can get middle of the money but play for championships at St. John's and Michigan State. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but that has been floated around, some of the information that I've gotten, along with packing a lot of boxes and sending them up north.
Yeah, well, the St. John's thing, I mean, so people have been talking about St. John's for since halfway through the year, just with him being a Jersey kid. And, I mean, Rick Pitino is just salivating at
right.
the idea of having to have Pettiford on his team. And, man, you talk about if those teams are the actual ones in the rotation, right? Michigan State and Tom Izzo, they just had a point guard in Fears who plays very similar to Tahad Pettiford. And then Syracuse would be interesting with a new coach and Jerry McNamara, but I wouldn't be surprised for them to up their NIL money and try to be competitive again.
Right. And that's where I heard who was going to offer the most money, and then he would get middle-of-the-road money at the other two places. The choices are, do you want to play for a championship or go where the money is? And so we'll see.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's back. But anyway, guys, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Dak. It's always good to hear from you, brother. It's been a while, and I'm glad to hear you're enjoying a little bit of the time off. And so speaking of basketball and baseball and Auburn in general, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break because Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up right after this. We'll talk to him about both of those sports and his thoughts on Final Four for basketball tonight, baseball tonight as well against Arkansas. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and welcoming in a guy who's with us every Thursday at 2:30 and a busy man this weekend, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us on the phone lines now. Brad, I know you're getting ready for a big baseball series this weekend against Arkansas. You guys have been preparing for the NIT as well coming up tonight. There's a lot happening here for Auburn Athletics this time of year.
There is, and isn't it fun to be playing basketball in the month of April? Auburn is, it's down to Auburn and maybe Oklahoma, we'll see. But that's it. It's fun to be playing basketball in April, fun to be playing top 20 series as well at Plainsman Park. So it's close, and we have both on the same day, so that's fun. And you guys are a part of that process too.
Yes, yeah, there is a ton happening to make it happen, but we're excited and happy to do that. And the NIT semifinal tonight for Auburn basketball against Illinois State can be heard right here on ESPN 106.7. Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey on the call at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Jacob Hillman's going to be here in the studio doing his pregame and halftime and in-game updates as well. And yours truly will be making sure everything goes smoothly. So we're excited for that tonight. For the NIT semifinal. Let's talk about the game itself, though, a little bit, Brad, because I admit that I wasn't the biggest fan of Auburn taking the NIT bid. I thought there was very little to gain from it, but I think the little that there was to gain, Auburn has done that. Steven has got some coaching, more games under his belt. I think the team has figured some things out, and I think there have been some positives to take away from it, and now you get to go play at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and I think the biggest positive is still hanging out there, the biggest carrot that's still out there, and that's the championship. If they are giving away a championship and you have the opportunity to participate, you try to win the championship. And, you know, all of us in life can maybe think back to it either recently or in the past, something that, man, I wish I would have had this different opportunity, but it doesn't mean that you just turn your back on the opportunity that you have. And I love it. I love that they've taken this opportunity. And I think that the days of not making the NCAA tournament, D-A-Z-E, the days of and the fog of missing the NCAA tournament, that was apparent for the first, 48 hours, even into the first half of their first game in the NIT. But after that, you saw, all right, a lock-in and a hunger and a desire from this team. And it helps the players to play more, and it helps the coaches to coach more. And I think you've seen a lot of development over a three-week period of time from this experience in the NIT. And now you have, you know, up to 4 days left in the basketball season, and they're going to go try to make the most of that.
And I think, too, you've learned a lot on this roster on what could come back for next year, right? Those are all hypothetical conversations, obviously, because the transfer portal does not open until next week on April 7th. But this was part of the reason that Auburn decided to play any form of postseason basketball was to see, okay, what can we do with Filip Jovic and with Elijah Freeman and Sebastian Williams Adams. There's also some rumblings with Tahad as well, who I think has looked a little bit more comfortable too. And so from that perspective, Brad, on what the roster could look like next year, I think the NIT run has been good for Auburn.
Yeah, maybe. And like time will tell, right? We'll find out who leaves and who stays. And, you know, you've already seen these guys through an entire SEC schedule. And that's, you know, you want to build your team with the guys who are ready to go through the rough and tumble SEC. Like, I don't think you're making final determinations on guys coming back or not coming back based on, you know, games against Illinois State or Seattle University or even Nevada. But again, it's more time, and it's the culture of your program. So if a guy's going to stay, great. This is one of those pieces of data that you're going to use. How did he respond mentally? How did he respond emotionally, psychologically? Not did he pull down 10 rebounds or 6 in a game against a team that you're not going to play in conference play next year. It's the mental approach. It's the everyday approach to your game as a player. And then if a guy's not coming back, like Stephen Pearl's attitude has been, then put some really good film. You know, put some really good work on film to show somebody else what you can do. And I think that's a healthy culture as a program, because we understand what college basketball is, college athletics as a whole, and how much movement there is every offseason. Mm-hmm. And so to be the kind of program that says, yeah, show me why you want to play next year here. Show somebody else why you'd be good somewhere else. I think it's stacking positives what they've been able to do these last couple of weeks in the NIT.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. And you'll have your eyes on the game tonight, the basketball game. You'll be on the call for baseball. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But when you go back and recap it, Brad, and look at that box score and things, Auburn about a 7-8 point favorite tonight, depending on where you look, against Illinois State. What do you want to see from this Auburn team, or maybe what you're expecting to see from Stephen Pearl's squad trying to take down Illinois State and get to that championship game on Sunday afternoon?
The hope is they'll take advantage of the size advantage that they should have. Illinois State starts a four guard lineup, and now the post player, the forward they have, he's like 6'8", 260. He's a big guy, but they're pretty consistently out rebounded. They're pretty consistently outscored in the paint. They win games when they shoot a very high percentage, and that's how they beat Dayton on the road. Not looking at just their last game, but it's one to note that they overcame I think 21-0 deficit in second chance points and a huge deficit in paint points to beat Dayton on the road because they shot like 55% from the floor. So Auburn's perimeter defense needs to be locked in, and then you got to have somebody who's physical enough in the post. And that's with help defense, physical help defense against that four guard starting lineup for Illinois State tonight. And then take good shots offensively. You know, don't settle for 50% of your shots coming from three. Run it through Filip Jovic. Let Elijah Freeman create in the paint. Get some guys moving around there in the low post and try to draw some fouls and score a bunch of points in the paint. That would be what I would look for tonight.
Auburn basketball taking on Illinois State in Indianapolis. We'll have the radio broadcast for you right here on ESPN 106.7. Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey, Jacob Hillman will have the call. So with basketball on ESPN 106.7, that means Auburn baseball is over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, here in the Auburn-Opelika area. And Brad Law, who is with us now on the phone lines, will be on the call all weekend for Auburn and Arkansas. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, of course, with Easter being on Sunday. And my goodness, there's a lot of big SEC series this weekend. Mississippi State and Georgia going at it, Battle of the Dogs. But this series this weekend, Brad, you have two teams who are not desperate, but feeling the pressure to get a win. And Butch Thompson has talked a lot about that this week and looking for a big response from his ball club starting tonight.
Yeah, very different from football and even a little bit different from basketball, as you can go through, and most teams often do go through these ebbs and flows throughout the course of a season. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, Auburn was knocking out starting pitchers before the third inning was over regularly. And the last few weeks, once conference play has started outside of the Georgia Tech game at home and the South Alabama game in Montgomery, it hasn't been that way offensively. So I'm trying to find some answers there. Auburn's left-handed hitters in particular need to kind of figure it out. And baseball is a sport where you do kind of let some guys figure it out. You kind of throw them in the pool and say, this is where we are. Let's learn how to swim. And some guys are having to learn to do that right now on the fly. The matchup itself, really interesting. Both Auburn and Arkansas come in on four-game losing streaks. Both teams were swept. Auburn was swept on the road, then lost a midweek on the road at number three Georgia Tech. Arkansas was swept at home by Florida, a team that had been swept the previous weekend, and then lost in walk-off fashion at Missouri State, did not go back to Fayetteville, came straight on to Auburn from that. So they've been on the road a fair amount. Reminds me a little bit of when Auburn played a midweek at Jack State last year and then went straight to Austin, Texas for Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, Easter weekend. And, frankly, they were a little gassed. I mean, they were kind of out by the time that weekend ended. And Auburn is hoping to do the same thing to Arkansas this weekend. Both teams 4-5 in the league. That's Auburn's same record last year at this point in conference play. and they really turned things around well and finished strong. So they're going to be looking to kind of start that again this weekend against a really good pitching staff and a team that also offensively is looking for answers.
And then there's the shakeup in the pitching rotation this weekend, too. And we had a chance to speak with Butch Thompson on our show yesterday and asked him about that. And moving Alvarez to start tonight. You'll have Marciano in his normal start on Friday night. And Saturday is to be determined, or TBA, to be announced for this Auburn baseball team. Do you like what Auburn did with Chatterton on Tuesday? And then the changes this weekend for the Tigers on the mound, Brad?
Yeah, I like it a lot, and it's something that's sort of been talked about internally for a month or so now because of just how good Alvarez has been, and not just against the quote-unquote overmatched midweek teams. He did it against Georgia Tech. He did it last year in a regional against NC State and against Coastal Carolina in the super regional. His stuff's just good, and so now it'll be put to the test in the SEC. But, you know, if this is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, I don't think you see it. I think that keeping Jake Marciano on Friday is big for this team. Moving Alvarez to the weekend independently is good because of how good he's been. But the fact that you also, like, you don't have to move just everybody up one day. You keep Marciano on Friday. And then I think Saturday is really intriguing, and I'm looking forward. We'll do our pregame here with Coach Thompson in just a few minutes. But to find out a little more about the strategy, these Arkansas bats, do they struggle more tonight against Alvarez than they do tomorrow against the lefty Marciano? Or is it vice versa? And might that dictate whether it is the lefty Sanders or the righty Petrovic that goes Saturday? I think we'll see them both, but will it dictate who starts that game? I think that may be the case. But no, I love it. Again, independently, Alvarez for the weekend makes a lot of sense. And then keeping Marciano on Friday makes a lot of sense as well, as good as those guys have been.
And then do we expect, I know we're obviously still several hours away from the start of the Thursday game, 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow, yep, on Friday, and then 2 o'clock on Saturday. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And so any expectation on maybe with the offense that has been struggling coming in, maybe lineup changes? If it doesn't go well tonight, you might see a similar lineup tonight, but if it doesn't go well, then maybe some shakeups through the rest of the weekend?
Maybe, but I don't know. I mean, Arkansas hasn't released their starters for the last two games of the series. It might have to do with whoever they run out there in tomorrow night's game, but
yeah, which would make,
you know,
sense
with a little bit of the righty lefty thing. But Coach Thompson mentioned before the Georgia Tech game, like, you're going to see talented left-handed pitchers the rest of the way, and Auburn's left-handed hitters have to be able to be productive. So, like, I think you're still going to get the at bats for Frelick and Terrell and either Ballou or Mason McCrane. Some of those guys you got to be able to come through offensively for this team to be able to go where we all think it has the potential, the talent to go. So I don't know. I mean, at what point do you have to start making those changes? It's not nine games into the conference schedule. I know that. I don't know if it's not nine, is it 10 or 11? I'm just not sure if it is.
Well, there's a lot to be gained this weekend for Auburn. Again, Tigers hosting Arkansas at Plainsman Park starting tonight. All the radio broadcasts can be heard locally here in the Auburn-Opelika area with Brad Law on the call over on Wings 94.3 tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday. And just kind of zooming out on the Auburn baseball schedule for a moment, Brad, before we let you get out of here. It's Arkansas this weekend. You've got Kentucky coming in. You still have some tough trips like to Texas A&M and Mississippi State and things like that, but it is crunch time for Auburn to try and make up some ground that they've lost over the last couple of weeks, and man, what an opportunity you have over the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, long year, but this weekend would go a long way for sure. Mm-hmm. You got a two-game or a two-series losing streak after the opening sweep at Missouri. You'd get back to, if you win two out of three this weekend, then you're back to 500 with six series to go. What's interesting, big picture, is this is an eight-game homestand that they're about to start. After these eight games, because they've got a lot of midweeks that are on the road the rest of the way, after these eight games at home, they only play six home games the rest of the regular season.
Wow.
So this is a wonderful opportunity to do business, to kind of get the train snapped back in on the tracks, and to make some progress as you're going to spend a lot more time away from home over those last, I guess it would be 5 weeks of the season at that point.
Well, Auburn going to try and figure it out again this weekend. It's the Tigers and the Razorbacks, Auburn and Arkansas tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday. Of course, Auburn basketball is in Indianapolis for the NIT, and we're going to have full coverage for you of basketball here on ESPN tonight, baseball over on Wings all weekend long. He is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every single Thursday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7 during On the Line. Brad, plug it all one more time. Tell people what they need to know about that and everything else going on with the Auburn Sports Network.
Yep, Wings 94.3. We're a little more than 3 hours, I guess, away now from first pitch, 6:02 tonight. Wings 94.3 is baseball. ESPN 106.7 basketball starting at 8 o'clock tonight. And just, you know, from there, we'll keep everybody in the loop. We've got Tiger Talk a week from tonight. It's the season finale a week from tonight. No Tiger Talk this week. So, lots going on in the month of April. A-Day's coming up in 2.5 weeks. And so we're not slowing down, not slowing down a bit.
Brad, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy a big series this weekend at Plainsman Park. You know we'll be tuned in.
You got it, Jacob. Thank you very much. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network for joining us. Again, he'll be on the call tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, or Saturday, over on Wings 94.3 for Auburn baseball, Tigers, and the Razorbacks getting after it. And heard his thoughts there. And again, we're going to talk Auburn baseball coming up in just a couple of minutes to get hour number two started, where we'll talk about Auburn, Arkansas, and then Christian's got to leave a little bit early. He's got Lee Scott baseball, but I will then kind of preview all the other SEC series going on this weekend. Right, because they all start tonight. They're all Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, with Easter on Sunday, and so. Kind of look around that, look around the current standings of the SEC, and then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will be joining us in the second hour as well. So, tons going on. The first hour was a ton of fun, and again, that's kind of what's coming up in hour number two. And so, Auburn baseball, little basketball in there. We'll talk to Chris, maybe any big storylines or anything from spring practice so far, and we'll go from there. So, hour number one is in the book. Stick around. We have a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. Christian's got one more segment, I think, right? One more segment with you before you got to hit the road, right?
Yeah, I got to talk a little Auburn baseball before we head over for Lee Scott ball.
Okay, cool. We'll do that to start hour number two, and then it'll be you and me the rest of the way. So, hour number one's in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get started in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, we had a ton of fun. We talked Auburn basketball as the Tigers are in Indianapolis getting ready to take on the Redbirds of Illinois State tonight in the Final Four of the NIT. And so talked about that in hour one. Also talked about what Auburn has kind of learned about this team and this roster, and maybe some of the positives that are coming out of this with what the roster could look like next year. So we talked about that. Plus, we had our guy Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, who joined us on the phone lines as he is getting ready for Auburn baseball against Arkansas. He'll be on the call for that this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. All those games can be heard locally over on Wings 94.3. So we talked to Brad about that, and good preview there with the guy who will be calling it all weekend long. And so all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, be sure to go back and check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, it's a whole lot of baseball conversation. We kick it off with Auburn baseball opening the series against Arkansas here tonight. A couple of deals going on around Plainsman Park. So if you don't have plans, make sure you know where you are here tonight. We're also going to look at some of the other series around the SEC this weekend. Some of the biggest implications for what the SEC and what the top tier of the SEC teams are hoping to be able to do this weekend. There's a couple teams up there that we have a feeling may not be sitting in that same spot once the season comes to a close, once you kind of figure out everything about all the SEC teams and you realize, okay, the law of averages with the strength of the teams. Some of these teams have maybe gotten away with a couple of wins that we feel like they're not going to have later on in the series, or in the season rather. And then we have our guy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joining us as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. We'll talk spring practice, we'll talk college baseball, and we'll get his thoughts on the Redbirds, get his big breakdown of Illinois State, and I'm sure he'll have a jab in there as well. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
Yeah, and so we do want to start the hour talking Auburn baseball. Had a chance to speak with Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn baseball, here on the show yesterday. If you missed that, be sure to go back and check that out on the podcast version of the show as well. But you can feel the urgency here. And that's sort of what I talked about with Brad a little bit earlier, was the pressure that both teams are feeling. Maybe not I don't know. It's not do or die, okay, for these two teams this weekend, but it is funny that both teams are in the same scenario. 0-4, right on a four-game losing streak, coming in 4-5 in SEC play, both coming off an SEC sweep and losing in the midweek. I mean, there's a lot of similarities here, but Auburn cannot worry about Arkansas this weekend, and I don't think they will, but you can't worry about what Arkansas's mentality is. Auburn's got their own problems to fix.
They do, and yeah, it's not the pressure of, you got to win, like Auburn basketball, of, man, we got to win these next three games to try and make the postseason. You're not at that spot right now, which is a luxury, yes, but it's also because you're still very early in Southeastern Conference play. I think you said yesterday we're now halfway through the college baseball season, at least the regular season. Obviously, still plenty of time to go in SEC play. Yet it gets you to a spot where if you're having these conversations 2 weekends from now or 3 weekends from now, then it starts getting to the spot of, okay, something needs to change, something needs to happen. But we were reminded yesterday by Coach Butch Thompson that this team was in a similar, if not identical, spot to where they were last year. And I think that ended up being a halfway decent season. And with how young this team is, man, winning is contagious. At-bats are contagious. You hear everybody talking about pass the baton. And that was something that Auburn was able to do so, so well early on in the season. Excuse me. And I think some of that is because of the scouting reports not being there quite yet. But I also think it's just because of what the top part of the lineup was able to do when it got past to the middle, then to the bottom half. And half the time, you saw it to where the guys towards the bottom of the lineup became your RBI guys or became your run scoring guys, because 7, 8, and 9 weren't your traditional 7, 8, and 9 and got on base when the lineup flipped back up on its head. You haven't seen that over the past couple of weeks or weekends, And you're right. You can't necessarily worry about what Arkansas is going to bring. And we don't mean that of, oh, it's just the nameless arm on the mound, yeah, because we know that when you're in the SEC, it's not that. And every single guy that comes and steps on the mound has absolutely ridiculous stuff. You're still going to take all of your strategies on that side of things. But more so from the conversation we had yesterday of Arkansas is in prime position right now because they know that Auburn is very vulnerable to momentum. Or momentum being taken away from them, and that is what Auburn, I feel like, cannot focus on.
Yeah, you look at this Arkansas team coming in this weekend, 19-11 overall, right? A 4-5 record in the SEC after getting swept by Florida at home, by the way, right? Brad made that point earlier. The fact that Auburn went and got swept on the road, yes, it was to Alabama, but it was on the road compared to Arkansas getting swept at home by Florida, right? And then the walk-off loss to Missouri State on Tuesday, and I didn't know this until Brad said it, where Arkansas went to Missouri State and then just came straight to Auburn. They didn't go home.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting, I thought. I didn't know that. But again, they're 19-11 on the season, hitting .281 as a team. They have a ton of extra base hits. They've hit 46 homers already
this
season.
That's what I was going to share was, you know, we talk about the difference in offenses. Arkansas is towards the top in the SEC of hitting home runs, 46 of them. Auburn's hit 26 of them. Auburn's hitting .285. And so you look at the batting average numbers being around the same. Auburn slugging .426, Arkansas slugging .483. And so you're going to see two different styles of play where Arkansas almost looks for the hits or the walk and the blasts rather than Auburn's going to try and continue to do what they've doing or they've did early in the season and have been trying to do and trying to replicate since, which is trying to put together those long 25, 30 pitch innings where there's just a runner on every single base, every single inning.
Then you look at what Arkansas does on the mound. They have just a little bit of a over a 4.02 ERA as a team. They have over 300 strikeouts, less than 100 walks given up so far. They are pitching their guy tonight. Their guy is Gabe Gackel, who was on the team a year ago. He's a junior this year, the righty. He was a little bit of everything for them last year. Had some starts, had some bullpen work, had a closing role on that team as well. He's 3-2 on the season. If you want to look into the win-loss, we don't necessarily die on those hills, but
doesn't mean what it used to.
Right, exactly. And a 3.58 ERA. So it's not the most impressive ERA in the world, right? And Butch Thompson told us yesterday, you know, frustrated that his team wasn't able to find a barrel to a baseball against a bullpen of Georgia Tech that's got a 8 ERA, right? And so is Arkansas's pitching good this weekend? Yeah, it will be. But here's the thing. Gabe Gackel's the only one we know of. We do not know who they're starting tomorrow, and we do not know who they're starting on Saturday. And so that makes it a little bit more difficult for Auburn, right? And Arkansas is kind of doing that based on what they do tonight and what Auburn puts out there, and we'll see. But this is a good staff for Arkansas, at least from what I can see on film and on paper. But it's not a great staff for Arkansas.
It's very similar to what their offense does. You go back and you look at the offense. We mentioned the home run numbers where they've hit 46 of them. They've also struck out 278 times compared to Auburn's 26 home runs and only 207 strikeouts. And so you see the big swings with this Arkansas team, both good and bad. It's like that MLB guy that you love but you also hate because when he makes contact, it feels like it goes 110 off the bat. Yeah, you also have to wonder about contact.
Right.
This Arkansas pitching staff is kind of the same way. They give up more runs, yet they have more strikeouts than Auburn does. Arkansas has 318 strikeouts as a staff. Auburn has 301. And so you're seeing two strengths for these teams, but I think Auburn is able to expose a couple of the weaknesses a little bit easier for or against this Arkansas team. It goes to show you how big this game is tonight for Auburn. Because if Arkansas takes game one tonight, it opens things up a little bit more for what they want to do on Friday and or Saturday. Yet if you're Auburn and you take game one, you already know who's going on Friday.
Yeah.
And that gives you the most confidence, where if all of a sudden you take the game tonight, you feel like you're set up to try and win the series at the very worst. And that almost puts Arkansas in a little bit of a bind, ties their hand behind their back, because then they have to do everything possible to try and take game two to force that game three, where there's question marks all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, we talk so much about Auburn's upcoming baseball schedule, but man, look at what Arkansas has coming up after this series against Auburn, right? Again, coming off the sweep against Florida, getting swept against Florida. They come to Auburn. They then go to Tuscaloosa and take on Alabama before they host Georgia back in Fayetteville. They do go to Como, which isn't terrible. They host Ole Miss. They host Oklahoma. And then they go to Kentucky. And so, man, that's not a terrible schedule for Arkansas down the stretch. I mean, road series at Auburn is difficult. Road series at Alabama apparently is difficult. Home series against Georgia will be difficult because of how good the Dogs are. But then you kind of get let up a little bit. I mean, having Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kentucky in three of your last four SEC series, the only difficult one being Ole Miss and it being at home, Arkansas's got a really great opportunity to turn this season around.
They do, and Plainsman Park is and still is considered to be a very tough place to play, but we've talked about the vulnerability that Auburn has and that Arkansas on the plane during batting practice and even in the first inning understands that they can kind of take a victim here. Yeah. with Auburn. If Arkansas can get out in front and play with a lead, you challenge Auburn to do something that they haven't done over the past week and a half or 2 weeks, which is be able to get that big hit, be able to get runners on base, shorten swings, and pass the baton. And that's something that Auburn's had a lot of trouble with against power competition, other than even in that Friday competition, which you feel like even then it still took the ninth inning. It took very late on the Saturday game against Texas. You didn't see it on Sunday. You didn't really see it against Alabama. I'd love to see Auburn too, as we're continuing to look through some of these stats for Auburn baseball and Arkansas. Auburn is 43 of 49 in the stolen base department. 43 stolen bases and 49 attempts. Really, really solid. You look at Arkansas, they're kind of in that department as well. They're 40 of 47. But when you go and you look at Ryder Helfrich, who's going to be behind the plate, you would imagine all three, if not the first two games for Arkansas. He's only thrown out five runners all season. 5 of 19.
Interesting.
And so
Auburn, if you get him on,
if you're able to get a runner on first, I would expect Auburn to try and play a little small ball this weekend of a leadoff walk turns into a sacrifice. But I also would not be surprised if you see this Auburn team really, really aggressive to try and steal bases and almost not give this Auburn team but plenty of opportunities to get that big hit with runners in scoring position.
Two or three guys that I want us to highlight, not in particular, I'm proposing this as a question. Two or three guys that Auburn needs this weekend on the offensive side of things. Obviously, the pitching staff you want. I'm fascinated to see what Alvarez does tonight in a starting role against a big team like this. He's been there, done that. I mean, this dude started against Coastal Carolina in the Super Regional. He knows what's up, okay? And we know what Marciano is. Saturday, we'll just have to wait and see. Auburn needs the starters on the mound to continue to do what they do. Need the bullpen to survive. You need your closers to step up and help you, too, with Hetzler and those guys. I hope they're not put in terrible situations this weekend, right? But offensively for Auburn, two or three guys that you are looking for, I'm looking for, Auburn fans should be looking for, that the Tigers are going to lean on this weekend. If they want to find it out and figure it out and get out of whatever this slump that they're in, who is it?
I think EG is the first one that comes to mind. Eric Guevara hitting .309 this season. You've seen that number continue to rise as of late. But being in the middle part of that lineup, you feel like he's going to have his chances with runners in scoring position, runners on base, or be able to continue rallies. He's kind of the one that stands up for me. I think you put Mason McCrane in that conversation as well, only okay. Hitting .279, which as a freshman is nothing to complain about. Yet when you saw the numbers a couple of weeks ago, been in a little bit of a slump, seems like the scouting report has been there. Would love to see him continue to get going.
I've got mine.
I mean, it may seem simple, stupid, but somebody that's been surprising for me at the top of the lineup. You only traditionally lead off once a game, but I think Bristol Carter is in that conversation of being a very, very important piece, being that rally starter, being the table setter, hitting 351, not only necessarily finding it out or figuring it out, but just continuing to be that guy that puts runners or gets on base, forces the pitcher to work from the stretch instead of the windup, allows guys like Chase Frelick to hit with runners on base and hopefully make the job a little bit easier for those guys.
I'm looking at a guy for a lineup and a roster altogether that we talk about being so young and so inexperienced. I'm looking at a guy who is experienced, who has been here before, and is such a firecracker for Auburn in a match when he is on. It's Bub Terrell for me. I'm looking at Bub because somebody who, as a freshman, was so impactful a year ago, now stepping in and hasn't really been himself since that Georgia Tech game where everybody for Auburn was hitting. And before that, it wasn't all that great either. He has, since the Georgia Tech game, just one multi-hit game. Before that, he had just another multi-hit game. There's a lot of zeros and ones in there for him in the hit category in these games. And I think he's somebody, you talk about speed, you talk about taking bases and taking extra bases on hit balls. I mean, I look for Bub's leadership to be something that Auburn relies on. He's an energy guy. It kind of bleeds into the fielding aspect of it as well, and we know how important he is out there. And so I look at Bub Terrell. That's the guy I look at. Somebody to step up, vocal leader, get the place fired up at Plainsman this weekend. I look at Bub Terrell as a guy that Auburn needs to step up offensively this weekend.
Bub has an on-base percentage of .390. And has 31 strikeouts, which leads the team. And it feels like there's been a lot of swing and misses. And when you're talking about those really, really long swings, I feel like Bub, as of late, has been one of those guys to come to mind. I'll make a prediction, though. I think Ethan Biggeman hits a three-run shot in one of these games to give Auburn the lead. Okay. He is my X factor. That is not mentioning for a series, but I think he has a big swing that really turns the tide for this Auburn team.
Auburn, wow. Good word. Read the room, bro.
Turns the momentum for this Auburn baseball squad.
I was trying to come up with something.
I was
Razorback or the yeah. Never.
He
mind.
He calls the Hogs down in Yettysburg in right center field.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, Auburn baseball, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Tigers and Razorbacks at Plainsman Park. All three games could be heard locally on the radio here in town on Wings 94.3. So, does Auburn win the series? I know we got to take a break. You got to get out of here and get on the road. We'll let you plug that in a moment. Does Auburn win this series?
Yeah, they take two.
Take two?
Yeah.
In what fashion? Tonight, tomorrow, lose Saturday?
Yeah, I think Thursday, Friday.
Okay. I think it's a good bet. I mean, not betting against
if you
Marciano,
take Thursday,
sure.
Friday, though, that puts you in every single opportunity to not only go where you want to go, but then you have Sanders and Petrovic if you really wanted to go that route.
Yeah.
If you wanted to kind of make up ground, which is the conversation that we haven't quite had today or even yesterday, but if you take two and you have the opportunity to sweep, you got to find a way to do it. Just like if you're down two, you got to find a way to take one. That's just as big. That would make up a whole lot of ground from this past weekend.
Yeah, and I think it would take a lot of stress off, too, to not have a rubber match on Saturday.
I would agree with that.
Either way. I mean, if Auburn can go up 2-0, man, which is obvious, obviously, but I would like it to be fun again for Auburn because it seems like that's just not the case. Okay, before we get to break, you're heading out. You're getting on the road. You've got Lee Scott baseball tonight. A little area play, huh?
Yeah, get started. Lee Scott and Beulah. So we're heading up there for game one. They'll be back here tomorrow for games two and three. And so really, really looking forward to seeing this Lee Scott team kind of turn the corner. You had the preseason play, if you will, where we played every single team in 7A, it felt like. Played every single one of Auburn High School's area foes. But looking to see this team, they're expected to make a lot of noise in the area, expected to make a long noise in the postseason as well. And so we hope you'll join us over on Tiger Country 104.5. First pitch is set for 4:30. Myself, Caleb Robertson, with me on the call as well. We'll go on air right around 4:15 or 4:20 for the home or from the home of the Bobcats and on the home of the Warriors. Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, and that Radio Alabama app.
Yep, we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk about some of the other big series, or I'll talk about some of the other big series around the SEC, preview those quickly, and then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us at 3:30. All that coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break, where Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will be joining us. We'll talk to him about a bunch of these SEC baseball series that I'm about to run through. Also talk a little spring football as well. And I'm sure he'll have a thought or two on Auburn basketball being in the NIT semifinal. So that's coming up in just a couple of minutes at 3:30. Again, Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC, the daily podcast covering the Southeastern Conference. And he's talking some baseball on his show because it's a busy time for baseball around the Southeastern Conference. There are several series. Most of the series actually begin tonight. And I was unaware, I overlooked this. There are two series where they'll be playing their finale on Easter. I thought every team was moving their series to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but LSU, Tennessee, and Missouri and Kentucky, they will be playing on Sunday afternoon in their third game, and so keep that in mind. But you talk about some loaded series this weekend. Ole Miss heads to Florida. Gators coming off the sweep of Arkansas last weekend. Ole Miss trying to bounce back after Mississippi State. So Ole Miss and Florida this weekend. Of course, Arkansas and Auburn tonight at Plainsman Park. Georgia and Mississippi State. That is the probably the highlight of the weekend around the SEC. Number 5, Georgia. Number 4, Mississippi State. Battle of the Dogs in Stark, Vegas. Texas heads to South Carolina, trying to add a couple of more wins. Vanderbilt, Texas A&M is a fascinating series this weekend. That's in College Station. And then Alabama and Oklahoma, two top 20 teams, top 15, depending on where you look. Those two teams are getting after it tonight as well. That's in Norman, so keep an eye on that. And then, as I mentioned, LSU, Tennessee, and Missouri and Kentucky. Heading into the fourth series of conference play. All right, we're 9 games in. We're heading into the 10th, 11th, and 12th this weekend. Here's your updated standings in case you haven't looked at it across SEC baseball. Mississippi State, Texas, and Georgia all sit at the top at 7-2. 7 wins, 2 losses for Mississippi State, Texas, and Georgia. You have two teams tied at 6-3, Alabama and Florida. Then you have a conglomerate of teams at 5-4, Texas A&M, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. An even bigger conglomerate of teams at 4-5, Auburn, Oklahoma, LSU, and Arkansas. Wild to think that Auburn, LSU, and Arkansas all have losing records in the SEC right now on the baseball diamond. Ole Miss and Tennessee both sit at 3-6, and then Missouri and South Carolina are both 1-8 in conference play. And so that's why we've talked about this weekend being so big for Auburn. You go 2 out of 3, you're back to 500. You welcome in that Kentucky team who is a game above 500. They do host Missouri, so most likely, Kentucky will have a better record than you next weekend, but Auburn obviously won't worry about that. Just talking about what postseason aspirations could be. It starts tonight for Auburn and Arkansas over at Plainsman Park. We'll talk to Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, get his thoughts on the latest around SEC baseball, spring football practice, and more. We talk to our buddy Chris Gordy next.
We're we're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Christian Griffin on the road heading to Beulah to call some Lee Scott Academy baseball, so you can tune into that coming up a little bit later on Tiger Country 104.5. But we get to the phone lines and welcome in a longtime guy who's been on this show for almost 4 years now with Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC. Chris, yesterday was my four-year hosting anniversary, and I don't know the exact date that you started joining me on the show, but it wasn't long after that. So tip of the cap to you, and always appreciate you and your time and what you've brought to this show over the years, my friend.
Yeah, that's awesome, and congrats. I had bets with many people you wouldn't make it to a year, so good that you've made it this long.
Well, I mean, that's why you're a betting man. You lose one, and you just, you know, roll it over to something else, right?
I've been rolling it over every year.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess you'll win at some point, right? Well, no, seriously, really do appreciate, again, everything you've brought to this show. You're as consistent as they come and entertaining, and we love having you here on Thursday afternoons. And my goodness, there is so much to talk about, and I feel like it's appropriate to start with baseball because we are now halfway through the regular season for college baseball. Not halfway through SEC play, but just halfway through the regular season. And I was just reading through the standings before we brought you on, and there's some wild storylines going on right now. The fact that Georgia is hanging with Mississippi State and Texas, Alabama and Florida, both 6-3 in SEC play. Then there's Auburn, LSU, and Arkansas, who are all 4-5 in conference play. I mean, it's been a wild start to SEC baseball, huh?
Yeah, and I think what's been crazy is, you know, all the sweeps. I mean, we had, what was it, like 6 or 7 sweeps last weekend, and you know, it's like the tale of different weeks. I mean, you have, you know, you look at Arkansas. I mean, they were looking pretty darn good throughout this season, and then last week they go and get swept at home by Florida. And that was Florida coming off the heels of getting swept at Alabama. So it's just it's a tale of week to week. You don't know what you're getting. I mean, the crazy part is, you know, back on March 20th, that Friday night, when Auburn beats Texas, late in that game, you're like, man, Auburn is the real deal. And since that game, they're 1-6. So it's just how quick these things can turn around. And this weekend's game, series against Arkansas is just an important series for both teams, both Arkansas and Auburn coming off sweeps last weekend. This is a big, big series because whoever loses this series is really going to be skidding.
Yeah, I mean, do you, at this time of the year, the fourth SEC series of the year with two teams in Auburn and Arkansas, not only did they both get swept last weekend, Chris, they both lost their midweek game, so they're now both on four-game losing streaks. Are you in the gotta-have-it, must-win scenario for either Auburn or Arkansas baseball this weekend, both of them 4-5 in SEC play? Are you to that point yet, or are we still kind of teetering on that?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, Arkansas, you know, I forget what they were preseason, but I think they were up to either 2 or 3. I mean, people
top five, yeah.
Yeah, they were a consensus top five team. Auburn kind of played above their heads, and, you know, I think, you know, was a little bit of a surprise. So, I mean, look, in reality, I think this is a way bigger weekend for Arkansas. I mean, if they lose 2 out of 3 to Auburn, I mean, I think they really start to put themselves behind the eight ball here in terms of, you know, wanting to be you know, an upper echelon SEC team. And that's probably the biggest surprise right now, is that LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee are all sub 500 in the conference. I think that's, you know, we thought those would be three of the better teams. And so, you know, time will tell. I think Brian O'Connor, that hire at Mississippi State, is turned out to be a super hit so far. We knew Texas was loaded. They've been rolling. Georgia's offensive firepower is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Daniel Jackson has been one of the best players in the country. So this weekend will tell us a lot. But for Auburn, the one thing I think they have going for them is I still have confidence in the starting pitching. I still think they're fine from that standpoint. It's the offense. I mean, it's really the timely hitting has not been there. That Alabama series, it felt like they couldn't scratch across a run to save their lives. And you know, now they're 9th in the conference in batting average, and I guess that's not everything. But You need base runners. You need to put pressure on the opposing pitchers and score some runs. So to me, I think Auburn's going to be fine as long as their pitching continues on, but they've got to find their offense quick.
Yeah, that series starts tonight over at Plainsman Park. Auburn changing up the pitching rotation just a little bit with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday start. They're going to keep Jake Marciano in the Friday spot, his normal spot. They're actually bringing Alvarez off of the midweek and putting him in tonight, and then Saturday is still to be determined for on the mound for Butch Thompson. But D1 Baseball, Chris, gave their midseason postseason projections, and several SEC teams, I think it was like six teams who were two seeds going somewhere else for a regional. And I think you and I were talking a couple of weeks ago just how unfair and scary it is for any SEC team that's a two seed walking into somebody else's ballpark come postseason time.
Yeah, it always is scary, but it's also, it's disappointing. I mean, for a team that is, you know, one of the better teams in the SEC, you would think, you should always be hosting. I mean, you should, especially in that first round, you should always be a host side if you're one of the better teams from the SEC. So, and there's some places you just don't want to go on the road. I mean, Coastal Carolina has always been a tough, you know, a tough road place. Southern Miss has given, some problems here and there. I mean, and then, you know, the powers like North Carolina and UCLA, and you definitely don't want to end up in those regionals. So, we'll see when we get there, but it all depends on which, you know, what that team's strength is. If your strength is hitting, then yeah, I think it's always dangerous for a hot hitting team to go in on the road in a regional, because if your starting pitching misses at all, you're in trouble.
Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joining us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Let's flip to basketball. Do want to get your thoughts on the just electrifying Final Four that we have this evening, right? Auburn and Illinois State taking place in Indianapolis at historic Hinkle Field House, which is very cool for the Tigers. And look, I have not completely walked back my thoughts, Chris, but I have eaten it a little bit. I think Auburn has taken some benefit from playing in the NIT. They're now playing in Indianapolis, and they do have a chance to compete for a championship, and they've got the Redbirds tonight against Illinois State.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you can finish your season playing for a championship on the campus of Butler University, I think you've achieved greatness. Now, look, I mean, it's everybody's laughing and joking about it, but I think it will mean something if Stephen Pearl can finish this thing off. If you go by Vegas odds, Auburn is the favorite. I mean, I want to say they're like an 80% chance to beat Illinois State tonight, and then I think they'll be a favorite over either Tulsa or New Mexico in the championship. So, it can be a joke, but, you know, print the T-shirts. If Auburn gets this done, NIT champions, that's something, considering where you were a few weeks ago when this thing was trending in the wrong direction, and, you know, they made themselves a bubble team and then out of the bubble. I think there's something to be said about that if Stephen Pearl can finish this thing off.
And, of course, the actual Final Four this weekend, the national championship game, will be played on Monday. And then the rest of college basketball is excited for the next day, Chris, when the transfer portal opens for college basketball, a two-week period from April 7th to April 21st. Of course, that's just the period that players have to fill their paperwork out, officially be in the portal. They don't have to commit anywhere during that two-week time. But even though the portal's not open, players have magically entered it somehow and have announced their intention to enter. And even so much so, Chris, we've now got the tradition, unlike any other, guys entering the portal with a do not contact clause. That's always fascinating. But big time SEC guys are already intending to enter the portal. Deedon Thomas from LSU, couple of guys from Georgia, Sabto Surreal, their center, Jeremiah Wilkinson from Georgia, expected to stay in the SEC. We'll see. Some other big names, Jalen Lowe from Kentucky is another one from the Southeastern Conference that has announced his intentions to enter the portal. I mean, do you expect other big names to enter once it does open up next week? And if so, who could be some of the big movers and big players, whether it be a program or a player in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I know there's a few guys at Arkansas that maybe didn't play as many minutes as they wanted this year, and so Calipari is going to have to do that song and dance. You know, as we know, when he did at Kentucky, it was always, all right, this group in, this group out. You know, it was like overturning the roster every year.
Yeah.
And so I'll be curious to see, you know, what the guarantee is with some of those guys in playing time. I mean, Florida, for as good as they've been, they've had some high-profile guys come and go. I mean, last year it was Denzel Aberdeen jumping ship from Florida and going over to Kentucky. So, yeah, I'm sure there will be some high-profile names changing things up. And then, you know, I was told by my LSU guy that they're going to let basically that whole roster walk, that Will Wade wants to go into the portal and bring in a whole new roster. So watch LSU to spend. I know South Carolina has come out and said they're giving – Lamont Paris, you know, he gets a pass for this past year. They said we're making a multi-million-dollar commitment for him to go build through the rosters or through the portal. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some names and there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking. It's just it's a little bit harder in basketball. I mean, in football, we can kind of, you know, we could kind of see guys and names and go, okay, that's an intriguing name, whatever. But in basketball, it's like, how many Furman games did you watch this year? You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, right, you get the starting guard from Furman who averaged 17 and 8, you know, but what does that mean for your team in the SEC? So you never really know, but yeah, it'll be very intriguing to see what happens though. Cause like I said, I think there's going to be some big SEC names on the move.
Well, you talk about the money, and there was a quote that came out today from Joe Tipton on Three, and he said a Big Ten coach told him that if you're under $12 million in NIL spending, that you're in trouble in today's era of college basketball. And I mean, that's just, that's insane to think about. That's the echelon you have to be at just to be competitive in college basketball, much less keep up with the Kentuckys of the world who spend $20 to $25 million, Chris.
Well, it's a fine line because I think Kentucky's the prime example of just because you spent the most doesn't mean it makes you good.
It's true.
You know,
it's a good point.
And I think we saw that throughout the tournament. I mean, teams that were going on deep runs that didn't spend a ton in NIL but had some great runs. I mean, Iowa, how much was Iowa spending on their roster? You know what I mean? So yeah, I think chemistry is first and foremost. You want players that fit your system that are going to, you know, to fit what you do. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you got to spend an arm and a leg to get them. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I was just reading through. There's some baseball coaches out there who are not happy, particularly in the SEC, being told that, yeah, look, 70% of the money's going to football. You know, about 10%, 15% going to basketball, and whatever's left over, you got to split with you, gymnastics, softball. I mean, it's pretty wild, and I think you're going to have some very angry women's basketball, baseball coaches out there that are not going to be happy that so much money is going to be getting thrown at men's basketball. But that's where we are. I mean, that is the second biggest sport throughout the SEC and on campuses, and you got to allocate the money. But again, just because you have the money or you're spending the money does not equal success. But it certainly is a competitive landscape out there.
He is Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We talk to him every week here on ESPN 106.7 Thursday afternoons at 3:30. One more thing before we let you go. We had the confirmation yesterday from the NCAA, and we gave them a round of applause, Chris. They found a problem, they presented a solution, and then they executed that solution where the Ghost Portal for all sports is it's still a thing, I guess, but there's now a punishment in place, and they tried to put an end to it before it really got started for college football. I mean, props to the NCAA for actually doing something about it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how big of a problem that really was going to be. You know, there were a few players that took advantage of it last year. I mean, obviously the kid that went from Wisconsin to Miami was one of the high-profile ones. Another one was Jake Retzlaff at BYU, who was facing an honor code violation, and he transferred over to Tulane, you know, basically unenrolled at BYU and enrolled at Tulane.
Right.
And kind of got in there and got an NIL deal. So I don't know how rampant it was going to be, but, you know, it does kind of feel like almost you're handcuffing these kids now and going, hey, I don't care that spring ball didn't go great. I don't care that you found out you're third on the depth chart. You're stuck at that school. So, you know, and then you talk about Tommy Tuberville and some of the others that have proposed legislation that they want to go back to the old one-time transfer, and if you transfer more than that, you have to sit out a year. There's a big push to go back to that way of thinking, and I'll be curious to see if that happens.
Yeah, we'll have to see. It's just an ever-changing world with the transfer portal and NIL in college athletics. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC covers it for all 16 teams in the conference better than anybody, my man. We appreciate you, as always, for taking the time and hopping on the show. Plug it all. Tell the people what you got coming up as spring ball continues on around the conference. And, of course, we're in the heart of SEC baseball season, too.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. We got a fun conversation coming up tomorrow on the rankings of SEC quarterbacks right now, and where does Byron Brown fit amongst all the provens like the Arch Mannings and Trinidad Chambliss and all that. So that'll be tomorrow on Locked On SEC. And hey, Illinois State Redbirds, watch out. You don't know what's coming your way tonight.
Oh, gosh. Right, tell me who you're pulling for tonight, Chris.
I'm Auburn through and through. If Auburn wins at all, I'm telling you right now, Jacob, I'm ordering an Auburn NIT t-shirt.
Yeah, just bring it to Tampa for SEC Media Days, okay?
NIT champions. Let's do this.
I love it. Chris, we appreciate you, brother. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate it. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out wherever you get your podcasts. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We've had a ton of fun, a ton of content as well. We've talked Auburn basketball, who is in the NIT tonight. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Plug the broadcast one more time. Also, talked to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Got a full series preview for Auburn baseball as the Tigers and the Hogs get after it tonight in Plainsman Park. Again, we'll plug that in a moment as well. And talk some Auburn baseball. Christian and I did also just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And so a very busy show, lots of content, lots of good stuff. So if you missed any of it, you can always go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show. We post it for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com. It's also wherever you get your podcast, you can find it there as well. And yes, two broadcasts tonight for the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. We'll have Auburn men's basketball in the NIT in the Final Four from Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey will be on the call in Indianapolis. Jacob Hillman will also be a part of the broadcast. He'll be here in the studio doing his pregame and halftime segments. You know, he has some stat updates and things that he does also during the broadcast. Those guys do a phenomenal job. Jacob Hillman will be here in the ESPN 106.7 studio along with myself. I'll be running it and producing it to make sure that everything goes the way it's supposed to. And if it doesn't, then I get blamed for it. And that's totally fine with me. But Auburn basketball tonight on the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Broadcast time set for 8 o'clock. Tip-off is scheduled for 8:30, but be ready for that to be a few minutes later in case the first game goes long, because both games are being played at Hinkle Fieldhouse, and so Auburn has to wait on New Mexico and Tulsa to finish up. That game is at 6 o'clock. Auburn's scheduled for 8:30, so hopefully they have it timed out right, but that's the scheduled stuff. 8 o'clock broadcast time and 8:30 tip for Auburn men's basketball. Then for baseball tonight and all series long, and all season long for the most part, you can catch the radio broadcast with Brad Law. He'll have you covered on Wings 94.3 with a 6 o'clock first pitch, 5:45 broadcast time for Auburn baseball against Arkansas. That'll be over the next 3 days. All three of those will be on Wings 94.3. And so no reason to not listen to something on our airwaves this evening. Also, Lee Scott Academy Baseball about to get started over on Tiger Country 104.5. And so my recommendation, go to Tiger Country 104.5, listen to Lee Scott Academy Baseball, then go over to Wings and listen to Auburn University Baseball, and then come back here to ESPN and listen to Auburn University Men's Basketball. Can't beat it. I mean, Can't beat that with a stick. And you have Auburn High softball on 96.3 W. Lee against Opelika. So why not go check that out, too? We have four stations with sports on it tonight. Go find one or two or three or all of them. Bounce around. Download the Radio Alabama app, and you can get all of it at your fingertips. Tomorrow is Free for All Friday. We'll recap baseball. We'll recap basketball. We'll talk something. I don't know. It's Free for All Friday. That's the fun of it, okay? We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you.